And welcome aboard to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode 11. Amazing. Already 11 episodes have passed by. This is Andrew Horowitz, your host. And actually, we've had a lot more episodes because if you consider the 10 or so that we've done for the CNBC Market and Portfolio Challenge along the way throughout April and May, this is probably our 20th episode. Thanks so much for being here. And thank you, really, thank you so much for giving us those great reviews on iTunes, for subscribing. We are now featured on the front page of iTunes in the investor area, in the investment subcategory for iTunes. So that's really great. Thanks so much. Well, today I thought we'd do something a little bit different. It's a long weekend. Actually, I'm recording this right before Memorial Day of 2007. And I thought what we would do is take a look at what I would call the top 10 investor mistakes, the things that people just do wrong simply because, well, we're human. So we'll go over those and maybe try to find a couple of cures in there and figure out what it is that we're really doing wrong and maybe some of the things we're doing right too. But we're going to go down and count them down. Again, the top 10 investor mistakes.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor is top investor mistakes.
All right, number 10, let's start off with that. The 10th thing I think that we could really see as an investor mistake is investing what you don't have. What you don't have and what you don't have to lose. How many people out there have taken money that they should have used to pay off their mortgage, to put into their college saving plan for their children, to just simply pay off some debt and give themselves a really good, sound emergency fund? And what they do instead is take a few bucks on that flyer. They go out there and figure they're going to make some money. It's better off to put some money aside. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Putting money in any investment before you've done things, you've cleaned your house, you've gone and really done all the things that you have to do according to a really solid financial plan is just plain stupid. Just stupid. Make sure you have your house in order. Have your emergency fund set up. Have your overall planning correct. And then you can go out and invest. Number 9 on the Disciplined Investor's biggest investor mistakes. I call it blind fools and blind pools. You know, if you don't know what you're investing in, if you have no idea what that investment is that's either being touted or that you're looking at, maybe it's a mutual fund, maybe it's an annuity, maybe it's a stock, maybe it's something, a real estate investment. Why are you putting your hard-earned money into that? You're blindly following advice from somewhere. Somebody's telling you to do this. Maybe it's from the TV, and there's a lot of those shows these days that are just really happy to give out advice. Maybe it's another podcast. Maybe it's this podcast. Maybe it's a blog. Maybe it's some news item. Whatever it is, why are you following the advice just because someone's telling you? How many times have you read a newspaper and you've seen an article that really sparks your interest, and then you decide to invest? Do you know who the writer is? Do you know if they have some ulterior motive for recommending that? Now, we hope that all the people you're listening to, that the advice that you're getting is above board. It is not biased in any way, but let's be careful. Let's not make that mistake of blindly following blind fools and blind pools. Okay, our number 8 investment mistake, swinging for the fences. We want to hit a home run. We want to make money quick. Why not? Because then you don't have to really do any more work in order to achieve success financially. So we go out and we find a penny stock. We take a look at maybe an email that comes to us that shows that this stock surged 80% today. It's an OTC bulletin board stock. And we decide to put $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, or whatever it may be into the stock. We're swinging for the fences. We want to make sure that we get in on the greatest opportunity out there. But then we don't understand it, and we end up losing. Maybe your son or daughter works for a company. Maybe your father works for a company, and they say great things are happening. And just because of that information, you decide to invest. Again, innate greed takes over and we swing for the fences, and more often than not, we strike out. Don't fall prey to this big mistake that people make. Number 7. This one's a doozy. Tips from friends. Tips from friends, I gotta tell you, is probably one of the most difficult areas to really move away from, because you want to believe your friends. They give you a good story. They call you up one day and say, I got something for you. I had it from a good, reliable source. This is a stock that makes sense. I'm putting my money into it. I told my mother about it. I'm just letting you know, do what you want with it, but this is a good idea. And you sit there thinking, wow, they're doing it. Why not? More often than not, tips end up flat. They don't do anything. Usually what we find is that helpful friend, and they're probably a good friend, is trying to do something nice. And what they're trying to do is, you know, really show you how good they are at making some money for somebody. I call these the shuffleboard stocks. The stocks that the people in the retirement communities are talking about around the shuffleboard court and the card table. Don't fall prey to the tip. It's hard. Your friend's telling you a story. You want to believe them. Nod your head. Say, hey, that's great. Thanks so much for that information. I'll see what I can do. But ask yourself, how many tips in the past have you had that have worked out well? In my history, about 20 years in this business, I will tell you that I can count on one hand all the tips that ended up actually doing something out of the hundreds that have been recommended. So tips from friends is a big no-no. Stay away. Don't get involved. Just walk the other way if your friends are giving you that advice because, well, you know what? Let's keep them as friends. You don't want this to end up in a financial problem and then lose a friendship over it too. The number 6 mistake is holding on too long. Holding on to a stock, maybe you bought it at 10, and that stock now is 5. So you're buying a little bit more. Why not? You know, you liked it at 10, you like it even more at 5. You hold on and it goes to 4, 3. You don't want to get out now because you want to make your money back on that stock. You said, you know what? I bought that stock and that stock owes me. You're going to get it back. No matter what, you're waiting until you break even on that stock before you sell it. Now think about how stupid that is. The stock doesn't care about you. The stock doesn't look at where your basis is in it. Why do you care about that? There's one question you have to ask yourself. Commit this to memory. If I had that much money that I've invested in that stock today, would I invest in it now? If the answer is no, sell it. If the answer is yes, absolutely, that is a great investment. Buy more or hold. But don't just blindly and simply decide that you're going to hold on to a stock because it's below the point and gosh forbid if you ever lose. No, no, no. I am not going to lose. That stock is coming back. Get away from the ego. Move beyond what your emotions are telling you. And if you have a plan in action that tells you to sell at a certain point, sell. Take the loss and suck it up. It's hard. It's very hard. But this is what we call disciplined investing. The number 5 mistake that investors make is paying way, way, way too much in transaction fees, in commissions, and in overall costs. Too many times I've seen people invest in mutual funds that have very, very high what we call 12B1 fees. They have high commission structures and exit fees if you were to move out of it. Do you really know what you're paying? One of the greatest areas where you can embed a commission transaction fee, funny enough, is bonds. Because when you look at a bond and you're buying a bond, you're really buying the interest rate. Kind of like when you go into a car dealer and the car dealer says, how much are you willing to pay for a month? And then you say, well, about $400. Says, we can sell that car to you right now for that price. Not realizing that it's about an 8-year payment plan. Okay? Because with a bond, it's the same thing. As long as you get the interest rate you like, they can then reverse engineer the pricing. But overall, the biggest mistake you make is when you're paying high fees. Because if you think about just for a moment, how much does it really cost you to have a 2% fee overall in a mutual fund over a 10-year period? Probably amounts to $30,000 for every $100,000 you have invested. And how's that? Well, let's just simply take the 2% per year, which is $2,000, multiply it by about 10, add the interest you would have earned on it and compound it, and you're probably at $30,000. So you invested $100,000 into a mutual fund, and now you're paying this 2% fee on an annual basis. Forget about the commission. And overall, you're going to have about a 30% reduction in your performance because of that. Now, remember, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't be using mutual funds. This does not mean you should not be using an advisor. But be careful. Don't pay more than you're supposed to. Pay a reasonable amount for the advice that you're given. Ensure that it is commensurate with the overall returns that happen on your portfolio, and I think you'll be very, very well off. Now we're on to number four, you're kind of coming to the end of this, finding out some of the things that investors do wrong. And the number four mistake is market timing. If you can market time effectively, I want to know. If you have more than a 40% positive investment performance based on market timing, I want to know because I'm going to hire you. I don't think it's possible. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's not possible from every study I've read, from trying to do it myself, from talking with other advisors and watching, from realizing that the markets do not have an absolutely identifiable market movement that can be successfully timed. I don't think it's possible. Sure, Lane Gallarzella back in whatever year that was, 1987, called the market correction. But you know what? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Because listen to this. This is important. With market timing, there are four different options. First, you could be in the market when the market's going up. You could be in the market when the markets are going down. You could be out of the market when the markets are going up. And you could be out of the market when the markets are going down. Now, the only chance you have of earning money is one out of four. You can't make money if you're out of the market when it's moving up. You can't make money when you're out of the market when the market's moving down. You can't make money when you're in the market and the market's doing down. Therefore, there's only a 25% chance that you can make money by even 100% correctly identifying market times to be in or out. Crazy. I mean, it's an insane proposition to try to work on market timing as a core discipline for investments. So just throw it out the window and let's move on. The number three mistake is using systems. There has been this proliferation of television infomercials touting that by simply following along a signal, a color, a basic process that shows when you should buy or sell a stock that you're going to make a lot of money. Have you ever read the fine print? Every single one says the performance of that investor is not the usual. It is not the standard. Well, what is the standard guy doing? What's his return? Well, if by any measure, the people that I know that have done this are the average guy, you're losing money because you don't have the ability to really understand the investment by blindly going into a black box methodology for investing. It just doesn't work. Yeah, it works sometimes here and there, and they can show you some pretty pictures and charts, but don't be fooled. Come on. Why would you spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a system and then the follow-up costs of the training and the external feeds for information of stock prices and going into those chat rooms? Why bother with that? I mean, there's so many better options available. It doesn't work. Number two in the area of mistakes when you invest is going it alone. So many people think that they could just go out there and invest money without the proper education, knowledge, experience, not only the tools. The problem is it's not possible. It's not possible because you can't do it full time. You can't commit the resources. And unless you're a professional at it, you don't have the experience. Emotions, as we've discussed before, are really important when it comes to investing. And it's so hard to separate emotions from your money. But there's where an advisor comes in. Someone who you can trust that can utilize common sense, logic, and technique, and as well as disciplines, to invest for you without the emotion. Going it alone is, I don't want to use the stupid analogy of trying to do brain surgery on yourself, but I mean, think about it. It just doesn't make any sense. You know what? What's it going to cost you if you do it yourself? How many mistakes are you going to make before you decide this isn't a good idea? There's something embedded in all of us that makes us feel that we can handle our finances ourselves. But sure enough, by reaching out and finding someone who can help you, whether it could be just simply a mutual fund, that's a professional. It could be a trusted advisor, CPA, or an investment advisor, or someone in that area that has the knowledge to at least put you on the right path if things go a bit astray. So going it alone, try not to. Think about it, how much sense it makes to utilize somebody, and I think that will be a lot more success involved in your overall portfolio experience. Finally, the number one mistake that people make when it comes to their investments is clearly the failure to diversify. How many times have I seen someone say, yeah, I have a diversified portfolio, take a look, and I look at mutual funds. I look at four or five different mutual funds that they own. But each one of them is an overlap of the other. They have an S&P 500 fund, and they have maybe even a fund that mimics the international exchange. But then on top of that, they have a fund that is a core value or a core growth fund that has no different stocks than the index fund that they had before. So many times there's an overlap. They have an extraordinary amount of maybe healthcare because they know it, technology because they understand it. Diversification is the absolute key to ensuring that your portfolio will stand the test of time. It will sidestep many of the problems that happen when markets really reverse and move down significantly. And the fact of the matter is there is no reason for you to have all of your eggs in one basket, simply put. Diversifying makes sense. If you really think about the process of diversification, what it gives you is the ability to have many, many different things that will move, maybe not in the same time, maybe not in unison, together, helping you to sidestep many of the problems in the markets. Let me give you an analogy, for example, that I use quite often. Think of a flower garden, a simple flower garden. In the flower garden, if you just have these flowers called impatiens, what's going to happen is they're going to look beautiful, absolutely gorgeous for a few months a year. When the summer comes here in Florida, maybe by you, they bloom in different times of the year, they're going to be dead. There's just going to be dirt where they were before. And if your entire garden was built on a flower that will just have a bloom only a few months of the year, what happens the rest of the time? Doesn't it make sense to have some evergreens in there, like money markets that we say? Something that really won't move too much or at all during market storms. How about having some other annuals and perennials and other things in there that something is in bloom at any given time? For example, bridging that over to our portfolio discussion, why not have not only stocks in the sectors of the S&P, have some international exposure, real estate exposure, utilize cash and money markets, bonds, etc., fixed income. Find other places, possibly look into hard metals like gold or platinum. Look into commodities. So try to make your portfolio diversified like that flower garden so that at all times you're having this beauty, not just sometimes, and that there won't be those times of downturn where everything is just going down all at the same time. That is clearly the number one failure, the number one mistake of investors, the failure to diversify. So there you have it, the top 10 investor mistakes by the Disciplined Investor. And I think that if you can avoid many of these, you'll be really much better off and you'll have a much better experience when it comes to your portfolio. We're going to end it here, and I want to thank you for your participation, your subscription, your staying with us. Remember, please go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Subscribe there. There's so much more that you'll really have at your disposal. There's tools, there's stock quotes, there's information that I write on an ongoing basis. You can even subscribe there to the email to get the ongoing posts on a daily basis or however often they are written. And once again, thank you for your iTunes support. If you can go there and give me a nice review or some review of any sort, I'd appreciate it. It's really good for us because, have you noticed, we're moving up the charts, and it's only because of you. Those reviews are really important. So this is The Disciplined Investor. Have a great weekend, a great week, a successful month ahead. I'll be back in a few days with some more information on how to make you successful while you invest. Thanks a lot, and have a great one.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. If you like what you hear, we want to know. Go to our show's listing on either iTunes or your favorite podcast directory and leave us feedback and a rating. The more feedback we have, the higher our position on the charts. Think of it as the price of admission. It only takes a minute and helps us understand more about what interests you. Keep our blog and podcast popular, and we'll keep providing you with great investment ideas. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.